I thought about what she'd said. Was I in danger of becoming a religious fanatic? I had heard of people who lost their minds and went around quoting scriptures at everyone. Was I going to get like that? And still my strange compulsion swept me on, biking from church to church, studying, listening, absorbing. Pierre wrote me once, asking me to meet him for a good old-fashioned drink fest, but I didn't answer the letter. I intended to, but I found it weeks later stuck in the back of a biography of Hudson Taylor. And on the other hand, I began spending a lot of time with Keyes, and with my old schoolteacher, Miss Meikle, and with the Wetstras, and, of course, more than ever, with Teal. Every week I cycled down to Gorkham to talk over with Teal the things I was reading and hearing. It was too cold now to sit out on the wharf, so we tended the fish shop, and between customers, talked. At first, Teal was thrilled about the things that were happening to me, but as the weeks stretched into months, and I continued my hot-paced rounds of churches, she began to be alarmed. "You don't want to burn yourself out, Andy," she'd say. "Don't you think you ought to pace yourself a bit? Read some different kind of books. Go to the movies now and then." I couldn't bother. Nothing in the world interested me except the incredible voyage of discovery on which I had set out. From time to time, also, Teal asked if I had found a job. This was a more serious problem. Obviously, until I had a job, I couldn't even suggest to Teal the dream I had had so long for her and me. I set out job hunting in earnest. Before I found one, though, a fragile little event occurred that changed my life far more radically than the bullet that had torn through bone and muscle a year before. It was a stormy night in the dead of winter, 1950. I was in bed. The sleet blew across the polders as it can only blow in Holland in mid-January. I pulled the covers higher under my chin, knowing that outside the sleet was driving almost parallel to the ground. There were many voices in that wind. I heard Sister Patrice. "The monkey will never let go." I heard the singing under the big tent. "Let my people go." What was it I was hanging on to? What was it that was hanging on to me? What was standing between me and freedom? The rest of the house was asleep. I lay on my back, with my hands under my head, staring at the darkened ceiling, and all at once, very quietly, I let go of my ego. With a new note in the wind, yelling at me not to be a fool, I turned myself over to God. Lock, stock, and adventure. There wasn't much faith in my prayer. I just said, "Lord, if you will show me the way, I will follow you. Amen." It was as simple as that. Chapter 5. The Step of Yes.